Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. Also going over to our friends, Free FM 89.0, coming out of Kirikiriroa, going throughout the Waikato. And I hope you're having a good day out there, folks. And on the Over the Fence Show today, we're going to, later on in the show, we're going to be having a look at some of the bubblings coming out of the capital around genetic technologies and things like that in Aotearoa, and maybe what we can expect, and a couple of various opinions on that sort of thing. And also we'll be doing some weather and some gardening, to do some public service announcements, things like that as the show goes by. So all these things to look forward to in the next hour or so here on the Over the Fence Show, folks. So anyway, I'll start the show with a song by Sam Hunt and David Kilgore called The Seventh.
Sit up in this world, better be born seven times. Once in a house on fire, once in a freezing flood, once in a wild madhouse, once in a field of ripe wheat, once in an empty cloister, once among pigs in a stye. Six babies crying, not enough. He yourself must be the seventh. If you must fight to survive, let your enemy see seven. One away from his work on Sunday, another starting his work on Monday. One who teaches without payment, one who learned to swim by drowning, one who is a seed of a forest, one who wild forefathers protect, but all their tricks are not enough. You yourself must be the seventh. If you want to find a woman, let seven men go for her. One who gives his heart the words, one who takes care of himself, one who claims to be a dreamer, one who through her skirts can feel her, one who knows her hooks and snaps, one who steps upon a scarf, let them buzz like flies around her. You yourself must be the seventh. If you write and can afford it, let seven men write your poem. One who builds a marble village, one who is born in his sleep, one who charts a sky and knows it, one whom words call by his name, one who perfected his soul, one who dissects living rats to a grave for a wise. You yourself must be the seventh. And if all went as was written, he will die for seven men. One who is rocked and suckled, one who grabs a hard young breast, one who throws down empty dishes, one who helps the poor to win, one who works till he goes to pieces, one who just stares at the moon. The world will be your tombstone. You yourself must be the seventh.
That That was the unmistakable voice there of Sam Hunt playing with David Kugel there on their song called The Seventh. And now we're going to do some weather here on the Over the Fence show. And yeah, bit of a wintry kind of day out here in Whangarua today. Yeah, a little bit drizzly, a little bit cool and what have you, but not too bad all the same. It's not exactly too cold or anything like that. And what's happening around the country? Well, there's a weak low pressure, which is going to linger over the Upper North Island today, bringing early fog patches, daytime low cloud and some rain and showers. Elsewhere, there's not a lot happening with more fog around New Zealand. And a bit of frosty weather that is around is quickly becoming confined to alpine areas as milder air moves in over the days and nights ahead. A low pressure means cloud can form quickly, and sometimes fog can form then clear, only give way to cloud or rain soon after. And the driest weather will be in southern New Zealand, southland Otago, and the west coast, interestingly enough, down south. Most places have light or lighter winds over Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, not much of a breeze around about out there today. Looking at the maps, well, it's there's just a few fronts here and there. One out to the east of the North Island. Another one sort of curling around the bottom of Aotearoa. A few more out in the Tassie doing their thing out there. So not going to change much. Not really. It's going to similar. Moves around a little bit over the next sort of few days, but patchy sort of weather really. And what can we expect around here in the Waikato for the next week or so? Well, yeah, a bit of rain today, 13 degrees a high, 9 degrees a low tonight. Well, southeast breeze, only 12 k's, so yeah, like I say, it's not a heap of wind around. Tomorrow it's actually looking not so bad, no rain they're expecting, but there might be some trace rain here and there, but a bit of sunshine breaking through every now and then. Highs of 15, lows of 9 at night. And 15 during the day, of course. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all looking pretty similar, sort of rainy kind of days. What are we looking at? 26 mils Friday, around about 6, and then about 18 mils they're expecting on Sunday or whatever. Daytime temperatures, about 15 degrees. Nighttime temperatures, about 11 degrees. Northeasterlies Friday. South-southwesterly winds Saturday and northwesterly Sunday. And then looking at the next week, sort of showers with a bit of sun into early next week, 14 degree highs, and then sort of 10 and 8 degree nights, and the winds are basically west-southwesterly with maybe some more rain. So, yeah, a bit of a winter's week for a change after our lovely sort of spell we've had the last sort of couple of weeks, haven't we, folks? So, yeah, I had a stew. Cooked a stew the other night. It's coming into that time, stew and soup sort of weather, and that's all good. 96%, that's a high humidity. This one says, anyway, today, here in Whangarua, whereas over here it's got like 89. So, yeah, high either way, but anyway. And the sun rose this morning at 7:33 and will set at 5:22. The length of visible light is 10 hours and 46 minutes, and actual day length is 9 hours and 49 minutes. And tomorrow will be 1 minute and 15 seconds longer than it is today. And the moon, I've seen it last night, actually, just slightly over half. Well, it looks slightly over half. It's actually more than that. And it will rise in about 20 minutes at 7 past 1. This afternoon will set at 20 past 3 in the morning, tomorrow morning. And it is a waxing gibbous, 79% illuminated, coming up to the full moon on the 21st, which is about 5 days away. So what does that make it? Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. So there's some weather for you. And I'll probably come back some public service announcements after this one. The song being a chill song, one of the latest ones called Underwater Wasteland. Thank you. was the Chills there with Underwater Wasteland, potential anthem for Chasm and groups like that, possibly. But anyway, the Chills, one of their latest ones off their album Silver Bullets, Underwater Wasteland. Now we're going to have a few public service announcements here on the Over the Fence show. And since our regular morning show host and station manager, Aaron Moore, hasn't been here last couple of weeks, he's been sort of not on air, but he's been doing stuff. We'll do a bit of a what's on guide around. And firstly, I want to say I've just come down from the community house before I got into the studio today. And Mike and Suz and the great team up there got a beautiful, slightly curryish sort of pumpkin soup on the go there with some lovely Arawina bread happening up there. And it's Koha Kai Day, of course, Wednesday. So you go up there. If you've got a couple of coins, you can drop them off up there for the good people putting on the kai, or just go and have a feed and a chat and a nice warm, comfortable surroundings of the community house. So that's happening right now, I think till about 2:30 or something, or maybe till they ran out of soup or whatever. But that's Koha Kai up the community house. Good on you, Mike. Good on you, Suz, up there. Also, what is happening up there at pretty soon, actually, is Justice of the Peace at 1 o'clock. So you can get up there and have a yak to the Justice of the Peace. And I think the best advice there is you get in early if you've got things you've got to do with the Justice of the Peace up there. I think they're there for an hour or two up there. Later on today at 4 o'clock, the Ragtime is ukulele groups happening at the Old School Arts Centre. So if you want to go and play a uke, or, you know, do a bit of dancing around a ukulele or whatever, Ragtime is ukulele group, 4 o'clock at the Old School. And there's an Abby's Kids Dance Party at Rocket Kitchen at 4:30. Down at Rocket, of course. Abby's Kids Dance Party down there. Don't know what they want to be like, but there you go. Clashhead Members Night at the Old School, 5 o'clock. Pizza special at the Harvey Hotel. Del tonight from 5 to 8. It's a members club draw night over at the Reckon Club over the road here from Reckon Community Radio HQ. And from 6 o'clock at the Reckon Community House basement is a zip repair masterclass, which is all about, I'll read it, a stuck zipper. Got a cordage. We can help with that and show you how to avoid any more embarrassing wardrobe mishaps. Free repair. Give a masterclass on fixing zips from invisible to flies. We will demonstrate how to deconstruct and replace any broken zip to avoid your item and garments going to landfill. It's free. Numbers are limited, so you've got to register. Minimum age of 10 years old, so you've got to register. I guess if you look up the Whangarei Environment Centre, which I think is just whangarei.org, I think, and you can get the tickets through Humantics there. So it's going to Community House Basement, and with their tutor, Emily, who I think is a fashion designer actually as well. So, yeah, she'll be there running you through how to fix up the, your zips and things like that. And that's, 6 o'clock tonight, Community House Basement Zip Repair Masterclass. You can get along to 6 o'clock at the Community House Basement. What else do I want to tell you? Oh, yes, the Aroha Seed Stand is sitting out into the entranceway here as well, put out there by the Whangarei Environment Centre. So, yep, still plants of seeds in that this time of the year. So some seasonal seeds there happening. And I think that's all I want to say at the minute. So there's some public service announcements for you good people out there. And now I'm going to play for you a song here by a live song, a live version of Winter Trees from London by The Staves.
That everyone's a little bit on edge because it's someone else's house, isn't it?
It's called Dream.
Within reason. I think we're just going to do one more for you. And what is it that we're doing?
I think it's Winter Trees.
Thank you very much for all listening. Just to say again, we've been The Staves, and this last song is called Winter Trees.
Snow, I don't mind.
Well, folks, that's the Staves there with White Winter Trees live from London. Hope you enjoyed that, and we're going to be coming back soon with some gardening to do's probably, but I think it's about time we wound up the music a little bit here. So here goes the Exploding Budgies with their song Sunflower. That was the Exploding Budgies with their song Sunflower. And a comeback to Gardening Thews after this one by Lou Reed called Sickie. Great lyrics, this song.
I was up in the morning with the TV blaring, brush my teeth, sitting, watching the news. All the beaches were closed, the ocean was a red sea, but there was no one there to part it in two. There was no fresh salad, cause there's hypers in the cabbage. Staten Island disappeared at noon. And they say the Midwest is in great distress, and NASA blew up the moon. The ozone layer has no ozone anymore, and you're gonna leave me for the guy next door. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan, and Oliver North married William C. Cord and gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship if he dies and wants to go out in style. and there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. Well, one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. Said there were 400 dead in some small town in Arkansas. Some whacked out trucker drove into a nuclear reactor, killed everybody he saw. Now he's on Morton Downey and he's glowing and shiny. Doctors say this is a medical advance. They say the bad makes the good and there's something to be learned in every human experience. Well, I know one thing that really is true. This here's a zoo and the keeper ain't you, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. They ordained the Trumps and then he got the mumps and died being treated at Mount Sinai. And my best friend Bill died from a poison pill some wired doctor prescribed for stress. My arms and legs are shrunk, the food all has lumps. They discovered some animal no one's ever seen. It was an inside trader eating a rubber tire after running over Rudy Giuliani. They say the president's dead, no one can find his head. He's been missing now for weeks. But no one noticed it. He, it seems so fit. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. I'm so sick of you. Bye, bye, bye.
Lou Reed there with Sick of You, and it's Gardening Through Times here on the Over the Fence show. And if you were gardening by the moon, right now is a good time to have a think about planting more green manure crops to dig in over September coming up. And from Sunday, this is the first quarter stage of course, and from Sunday it will be the full moon quarter starting, so from Sunday on into next week you can add compost or mulch to garden beds to prevent damage to the soil, and cover beds with cloths if needed to protect your plants and seeds and things like that. And now we're going to have a look at some what else you can plant right here around the Waikato this month of July. In good time to sow seeds for all these things: beetroot, lettuce, mustard greens, parsnips, peas, radishes, shallots, snow peas and spring onions. Strawberries as well from seeds, and strawberry plants, good time to plant out those as well. You can do right now. And here's a few other things: a couple of double ups, but a couple of ones that won't be. Apples, beetroot, blackberry, blueberries, bok choy, sock lemon, fee jars, forget-me-nots, garlics, gladiolus, lettuce, lily, mesculine, onions, parsley, parsnips, peas, peaches, pears, plums, radish, raspberries, rose, silver beet, spinach and strawberries. So there is a few of the gardening things you can do right now at the moment. Now I'm going to play for you The Cure, 10:15 on a Saturday night. Thank you. You were there with 10:15 on a Saturday night. Now, I'm just in the motion of getting a little talk about what's happening with the government and genetic sort of engineering and technology and modification and things like that coming up soon. I'm just getting all that together. So in the meantime, here's This Kind of Punishment from their song, From the Diary of Herman Doubt.
Thank you.
Xavier, that was This Kind of Punishment with their song From the Diary of Herman Doubt. And now today we're going to have a look at here on the Over the Fence show. It's an article sort of got me thinking once more about genetic engineering modification of our food and here in Aotearoa, which the government are sort of thinking about doing and most likely to sort of go towards. So the article itself is that coming from RNZ, it's a research on genetic technologies and food production finds that opinion is split through our fellow country people in Aotearoa here. And a third of New Zealanders surveyed were in support of using genetic technology in food production, but nearly as many of those questioned were opposed. Pretty small survey of 1,029 people. It was run by Primary Purpose, which I kind of had a look at them in their basically a think tanky sort of data sort of crowd here in New Zealand. And the attitudes on using genetic technologies and growing food were approximately split into thirds. 34% supported, 31% were opposition, and 34% were unsure. Primary Purpose founder Scott Champion said it was notable how many people, while holding views about GMOs, which are genetically modified organisms, of course, did not know much about them. He said it was important to understand public perception ahead of new legislation on its uses in Aotearoa. And he adds, I think there was one of the most striking things is when you put in the group that they don't know much or nothing about GMOs, it was 69%. So there's an understanding deficit, is how he puts it. A combination of support for specific uses and the minority of outright opposition indicates that the public is at least cautiously open to considering genetic technologies in food production, and there is a clear need to support the public's understanding of the area. So read into that, you know, as you will, but you know, I don't know, it's pretty Weasley words, isn't it? Minority of outright opposition? Yeah, okay. 45% advocated for gradual steps towards any adoption of genetic technologies, but again, coming back to the fact that, you know, what, nearly, more than a third didn't really know much about it. Or actually make that 69% were didn't know much about GMOs. It means that a lot of folks are a long way away from understanding what it's really all about. Which, to me, is where the effort needs to be put. So that's why we're going to be chasing this up once more on the Over the Fence show over the weeks and months to come ahead. What else can I bring you from this one is, there was a lot of support for genetic technology to be used in improving drought resistance in crops. 65% of people said that. And an increase in the nutritional value of food, 62% with that one. And this is all following the National Party has vowed to overhaul restrictions on genetic modification, which last amended 20 years ago. There's a few people saying stuff here, like dairy company Southern Pastures chief exec Prem Mann said told the primary industry summit in Wellington he had concerns over what GMO pastures would mean for trade. He said, I think we need to be careful because our grass-fed, free-range product is our unique selling point, and we can't run ahead because otherwise we'll be handing that over our premium markets to Ireland, our main competitor, on a silver platter. We've been told by two of our larger customers, he goes on, and this is some of the biggest names in the world, that they will stop buying from New Zealand if we were to introduce GMO because it's far simpler for them for paperwork, for compliance, for inspections, to just buy the Irish stuff. And Grasslands Technology, John Acaritas, chief executive, said New Zealand need to take a serious look at GMO. I think in a bit I'm going to bring you soon, there's more talk coming from, so I'll leave that one out. And the Minister for Food Safety, Andrew Hoggard, who I think's with ACT, who used to be the chief of the feds, I think, said some key trading partners use GMO, so it was time New Zealand played catch-up. And that's been the common rhetoric coming out of, you know, people like Andrew Hoggard, you know, oh, we're behind and we've got to catch up, and it's certainly within my portfolio areas, you know, there's a number of places where this technology could be put to good use for the betterment of the country, is the way he puts it. And biosecurity, you only get to look at wilding pines, how we can make them sterile. Stop them seeding is particularly useful in animal welfare, being able to use gene editing so cows don't have horns. It means we don't have to do disbudding, which is a painful procedure. Hoddarg said changes on the way, but he did not allude to any time frame. So, yeah, there's one little piece of what I want to bring you today, but that was an article by RNZ there. I'll come back with more after the song here, which is Graham Downs, Cattle, Cars and Chainsaws.
Late one night, I was channel surfing the sitcom rerun and the all-night news. The guy was talking about the mess we're in, what the three dead police is now for me and you. They tell you things that all make sense, but we forget as soon as we leave our tiny rooms. We all have faith that Captain Kirk will save us on a wet Sunday afternoon.
Graham Downs here with Cattle, Cars and Chainsaws. And now we're going to have a look at a piece here following on our genetic technologies. A few opinions, various opinions here I want to bring to you on the show today. And this comes from the New Zealand Science Media Centre. And it's just a few people's opinions about, like, this guy, Professor Andrew Allen, who is from the School of Biological Sciences at the University of Auckland. He says the current GMO rules are not fit for purpose. They were drafted and made law before the development of new technologies, therefore making the application of the law vague and not based on biology or science. And he adds, by restricting the use of GMOs, New Zealand is missing out on new tools to fight the climate crisis. Our existing crops are under threat and traditional breeding methods can't keep up with warming temperatures. He said a relaxing of the GMO rules should be associated with a case-by-case decision as to whether an edited organism provides measurable benefit without an increased risk. So that's Professor Andrew Allen from the School of Biological Sciences at the University of Auckland. Professor Jack Heineman, who's the Professor of Genetics at the University of Canterbury, however, says New Zealand is not falling behind other countries in the OECD who have more permissive regulatory frameworks for genetic modification. More than a decade after the CRISPR Cas editing was invented, there are just three gene edited organisms on the global market. So if we're falling behind in something, it isn't because we do less gene editing in crops and livestock. And he goes on, gene editing is still developing as a technique and there's still a lot to learn about it. Future value is not assured. I mean, pushing it too fast is a risk and not an economic or climate salvation. Regulation is a public good and current regulation is fit for purpose. And this is all coming from Professor Jack Heineman, who's a professor of genetics at the University of Canterbury. I'll leave you with one more opinion. This is a guy I was going to read out before, but I didn't. It is John Carradus, who is the CEO of Grasslands Technology Limited. And he says, he was asked, are the current GM rules fit for purpose? And he said, when the HSNO Act was brought into law, new breeding techniques were neither developed nor used. And he says, some countries have proactively differentiated some products that are developed using new breeding technologies, while others have consciously included them as part of their current GM legislation. Yet others are yet to decide. The notable outliers are the European Union and New Zealand, who have consciously included crops and forages developed using new breeding technologies in the same legislation as all other GM crops. And one thing else I want to bring you from John Carradus is that he said, current benefits associated with the GM include increased crop yields, pesticide and insecticide use, reduced carbon dioxide emissions, improved soil structure, improved crop nutritive quality value, and decreased cost production. It's a rosy old picture, that one, isn't it, folks? But disclosure of interest was that Grasslands Technology has an R&D investment portfolio that includes both genetic modification and gene editing of forages and microbes. So, yeah, it's that was from John Carradus. So there's, you know, as always around something like this, different opinions on stuff. So I'm going to come back with one more opinion before the end of the show on this sort of thing after the song here, which is going to be the Gordons song, Future Shock.
That's the most.
All right, folks, that was... I was actually supposed to play a Food Shock there, but that was actually Spick and Span, but I hope you enjoyed it all the same. And what I'm going to do now is bring you another view on some genetic engineering stuff. And the government has signaled that they will be loosening regulation on genetic engineering, engineering in the next 40-point program. National Party GE policy end to ban on GE was written in 2019 on the supposition of modelling and success of GE ryegrass. But before the poor US trial results were available, it was also written without acknowledging the potential to double exports in the next 10 years by taking advantage of double-digit 12% annual market growth in 2032 in the market demand for non-GMO food, including China and India. So, yeah, Aaron, you got the wrong end of the stick there, didn't you, Aaron? Yes. And other recent reports have ignored market trends towards natural products, including Aotearoa Circle report on modern technologies in New Zealand initiative, which have supported liberalising GE regulation. This article goes on to show 13 field trials in New Zealand, which haven't really been all kind of that successful. The New Zealand initiative, Aaron, informs me wisely, was who? The old business roundtable. What do they used to do with themselves, Aaron? Foreign corporate interests, Aaron tells me. Yeah, that's kind of all I wanted to bring you on that one. All right, folks, thanks for listening. That was the Over the Fence show, and we did a bit of a genetic sort of thing special here, and we'll be back again next week, and we're going to go off the show with a song here by Catch Savage and the Last Drink School Pack Animals. Have a great week, folks. Ka kite.